Letters.
On disinformation, digital payments, Southeast Asia, Italy, Ravel's Bolero and Tesla cars.
The Disinformation Wars.
From Professor Trevor Taylor, Director, Defence Industries and Society Programme, Royal United Services Institute, London. There are many novel ways of producing disinformation, as your articles in the May 4th issue effectively illuminated. Articles, bad news, a steep, steep hill. However, there is nothing new about disinformation itself. In Rossini's opera The Barber of Seville, Figaro's cunning use of misinformation is central to the plot. In the military domain, Churchill stressed its importance. In wartime, truth is so precious that she should always be attended by a bodyguard of lies. But during the Second World War, people in many countries were well aware of fakes and listened to the BBC because it was thought to be reliable. What is truly novel today is the number of people who see messages on social media and non-attributed websites as their only source of news and appear not to assess whether a received message is likely to be accurate. Here is another shortcoming for the education system to remedy.
From Peter Fattorini, Skipton, North Yorkshire. You suggest that tech firms, NGOs, media outlets and government agencies should coordinate to label, muzzle or remove deceptive content. This assumes that these bodies always have an interest in exposing the truth. The weather weapon story of last year's Hawaiian wildfires was quickly and publicly debunked. They were not started by a laser beam. So what did cause the fires? Lightning strikes, arson, climate change, new agricultural practices, electric power line failure, inadequate fire breaks, poor firefighting? Surely allowing all viewpoints to be aired and criticised publicly is much more likely to come up with the truth and a solution. If it's left to the grown-ups to censor content, then it will not only be disinformation that is removed, but inconvenient or embarrassing information as well.
From David Warburton, Berlin. Falsehoods have become part of Western self-understanding. The West as a whole suffers from institutionalized, muddled thinking, such as in gender theory, and not just among a few marginal academics and lawyers. The problem is not that outsiders are exploiting social media to destabilize the West. It is that the West has destabilized the whole value of truth in journalism, academia, and politics. Yanking the West back to recognizing the fundamental test of truth upon which free speech should be based would be the precondition for undermining the credibility of disinformation in social media.
From John Marshall, Santa Fe, New Mexico. Economics is the key driver of disinformation. Publications carrying alternative facts are highly profitable because they can deliver to their customers, advertisers, a stream of easily persuaded fools. Ad tech companies such as Google are only too happy to facilitate the trade. Advertisers get an audience that is provably gullible, and everyone makes money. It's just business.
Digital payments.
From Meghna Das, Head of Communications, MOSIP, Bangalore. The Economist's special report on national digital payment systems, article May 11th, suggested that MOSIP is a public version of India's ADA code. The MOSIP team wishes to clarify that ADA is a closed-source proprietary software, while MOSIP is a unique open-source technology that was not set up through the imitation of any existing technology. The piece also described countries adopting MOSIP as piggybacking on India's success. Such phrasing diminishes the efforts sovereign countries are making towards digital transformation and autonomy and undermines MOSIP's core principles of customization and vendor neutrality. Moreover, the adoption of MOSIP does not directly result in the establishment of payment rails. It enables the establishment of good digital ID systems, bringing down the cost and effort of eKYC or electric Know Your Customer processes, leading to better financial inclusion, which can then become a basis for faster payments. Our focus remains, as always, on empowering global populations with technology that will allow ease of access to rights and services through open-source, human-centric technology.
Hypocrisy on Gaza.
From Ilya Gurin, Mountain View, California. The support from Southeast Asia's Muslim leaders for Gaza, Article Banyan, May 11th, is pure grandstanding for a domestic audience. Neither Indonesia nor Malaysia has done much to help the Rohingya, a horrifically persecuted Muslim minority in Myanmar, their own backyard. Unlike Gaza, the Rohingya have a credible claim of genocide. Unlike the Rohingya, Gaza has a government in waiting that doubles as an internationally recognized terrorist organization. Indonesia's president-elect, Prabowo Subianto, accused Western countries of a double standard when it comes to Gaza. Article by invitation, May 4th. Sadly, his position is a cover for his own country's failings. This continues a tradition of Muslim leaders using Israel as a punchbag to prop up their own governments.
Italy's leftish turn.
From Bruno Gedo, Milan. It is a historical fact that the intellectual establishment and mainstream media in post-war Italy leans left, including broadly the national broadcaster, whatever the government of the day. Article Meloni and the Media, April 27th. It is not for nothing that Antonio Gramsci, who theorized the weaponization of culture to spread communism, was born here, and so was Umberto Eco, who recognized Italy's perennial strife with his theory on eternal fascism. This is a country where left-wing, engaged citizens look down upon the rest with so much disdain. Giorgia Meloni, the Prime Minister, rightly refuses to be drawn into this trite blame game, which would not end whatever she might say. It is time to stop this debilitating fight about the past and put our energies to more productive use looking to the future. And if free speech is about diversity of opinion, then overcoming the groupthink generated by our intolerant echo chamber may not be a bad thing to bring about more discerning citizens. Rest assured that Ms. Meloni's Italy is not and never will be Viktor Orban's Hungary.
Arousing music.
From Alan Margolis, Philadelphia. Your retrospective piece on Ravel's Bolero did not mention its hilarious use in Blake Edwards's Ten. Article, Can't Get You Out of My Head, May 4th. Bolero played in the background during Dudley Moore's sex escapades in the film, introducing a new generation to Ravel's work and its supposed aphrodisiacal effect.
Repairing a Tesla.
From Phil Rees-Thomas, London. Schumpeter asked if Tesla can be both a metal basher and a tech firm, article April 27th. As someone who's had an unfortunate brush with a car park wall, I can tell you that Tesla body parts, being mostly aluminium, cannot be bashed and must be replaced. 3 months on, the problems of Tesla's supply chain are clear, but that's another story.